Welcome to Questions About Heaven, a podcast about giving Bible answers to our questions about the afterlife with God. Each week, we seek to answer real-life questions with biblical answers about the life beyond this world. Now, here's your host, Brad Zockel.
And a most wonderful day to you. This is Brad Zockel, and you are listening to the Questions About Heaven podcast. This is the Revelation edition, more specifically the Revelation chapter 19 edition, and I am looking so forward to continuing on in this particular part of our end times talk, because this is centering on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is Jesus Christ here. And as we go into this part of describing the victor Jesus, then we're going to be able to understand the reasons in the battle and the justice that has been called upon for so many generations and civilizations, calling upon the justice of the Lord. And we're going to see yet another description of the Lord in preparation for this battle and continue on through in what's known as the Armageddon chapter in the Scriptures. Thank you so much for being with me. I do appreciate it. My name's Brad Zockel, and I'm here in the Barn Studio. And it has been a wonderful time this past weekend. I told you I was looking so forward to going to Louisiana and being able to meet my good friends, my new friends there in Slidell. We actually had a Bible study around the table in the coffee roastery, the Rebel Coffee Roastery in Slidell. What a wonderful time. Ed was a wonderful host, and we had friends coming in from the different parts of the area, coming in there for our study, and it was a very, very special time. I moved on then over to Dayton, Texas, and then this past Sunday, I was at South Dayton Baptist Church, and it was just a very, very special time with Pastor Mike Melligan and our dear friends there. The morning service was wonderful. We had just a number of people asking questions in the evening service on heaven, and boy, it was just really a very spot-on and very powerful time. A gentleman came up afterward, and he said it was 81, and he came over and he said, "Please pray for me. I've lost two sons, and it's so hard." And he told me about his adult sons had both passed on into eternity. They were both Christians, but he just cried, and "I wish you would pray for this man. He's going to remain nameless, but 81-year-old gentleman from the Texas church, and he just could use some prayer of just comfort in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, that God would give him a peace that's even beyond our explanation." So if you'd remember that, but oh, it was just a great time. And then last night, I was over at Holly Springs Baptist Church, and that is in Pickens, South Carolina. And we had a great time, and I was talking about the rewards of the believer, then entering into the home of the Father, special time. And again, a lady sat down afterward as I was greeting people afterwards, and she said, "Thank you so much. These are words of comfort. I lost a son. I think he was in his late 30s. She said, "And it's just wonderful to know this Christian young man that was my son, what he is enjoying in heaven right now." And yet another lady came with her husband, and she said, "I will hear on occasions a little bit about heaven over here 1 month, and then maybe something else interjected into a sermon another month. And then I get bits and pieces here. But what I enjoyed so much was getting all of these scriptures in here at once, and we could see them all weave together. That's important to me." So I want to thank you so much for your encouragement, your prayers of protection for me. Right now we are praying, and I wish you would pray and just consider if you are able to help us. We are looking for a new vehicle. I am in the travels right now around the region, from Texas to Maryland, Delaware, Pennsylvania. I'll be going to over to Georgia this week and in Fayetteville, Georgia. And that old Honda CRV has 239,000, just a smidgen under 240,000. So we're keeping an eye out for another car. We have about $4,000 in the car fund in our ministry. If you're able to help us out, remember, we are a 501c3, and you will receive a tax deduction on that tax receipt that I will send to you and our ministry will send to you. If you can't help, that's fine. Just pray that that would be able to be something that we could take care of. And thank you, and God bless you for that. Now, as we continue on here, we're going into Revelation chapter 19, reminding you that as we look at this, this is known as the Armageddon chapter. Let me go ahead and start off and read to you here, if I could. This is so us here. Let's go ahead to Revelation chapter 19. And as we read this very, very powerful passage here, I'm going to start you in this Revelation chapter down where we're getting into Armageddon. And so I'm going to start and repeat some of the that I had done earlier in some podcasts, but let's go through it again. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. It says crowns in one translation. Diademos, this means a crown by birthright, not one that you have to earn. He has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in the robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. Okay, so as we look at this, there is so much time, so much information and so little time to share. So let's go right into it. We're talking about Jesus, who at one time on earth in humiliation wore a crown of thorns. Do you remember that as we looked at this in John chapter 19 and verse 2? And we see this, the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns, put it on his head, put a purple robe on him, mockery. He's in humiliation. Well, we're seeing him wearing crowns in victory now. I was looking at this and taking a look. We talk about crowns, and of course, we go back to the coronation of King Charles last year. Was that in May of last year, I believe? We took a look at that, and he wears, because of tradition, there's not enough time to go into it, but he wears two different crowns during that time. Now, the St. Edward's crown, when he was officially declared the king, this crown was put on him. It is made of solid gold. It is 5 pounds. It has 444 gemstones. As I'm reading here in an article by Country Living, was talking about that, says that some of those gemstones were rubies, sapphires, garnets, and tourmalines. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. It is absolutely huge. And when you see this, he wears it once in tradition, and then it's moved over into another one, a 5-pound crown. And then, leaving, he will then wear another crown. This one here, now did I call that one the St. Edward's crown that I told you about here? Yes, indeed. And then some other details about it. The solid gold frame, that's a 5-pound solid gold frame. It has a velvet cap, an ermine band on it. And this takes you back, my goodness, to the 1600s on it. Indeed, a powerful, you know, a lot of significance and honor in that crown. But the one that Jesus has is more than one. There are many crowns. We look in Zechariah, and there's a reference about a crown that would be more than one in the coronation. In Zechariah chapter 6, it gives us something which hints at prophecy here too. In Zechariah chapter 6, the instruction is to take silver and gold and make crowns, plural, set them upon the head of Joshua, the high priest, and speak to him, thus says the Lord of hosts, the man whose name is the branch. And you know that that's a name for the Lord. He shall grow up out of his place. He shall build the temple of the Lord, of Yahweh. Even he shall build the temple of Yahweh. He shall bear the glory. Now watch this. He shall sit and rule upon his throne. That's for a king, rule upon the throne. And he shall be a priest while he is on that throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. This gives you a hint that there are more than one office that would be more than one of the offices that would be named in authorities, and Jesus would have these two. The number of crowns talking about it. No wonder we call him King of Kings. And when we see that, we also find something most powerful here when we're taking a look at this. We are seeing something about his title. He had a name written. Specifically in the Greek, it says, a name having been written. So it was a name that had been put down, and this was one that was already known, not as if it had been just put here for this occasion. This name, but here's the puzzle here. Here's one of the mysteries. No one knows the name. Literally, no one knew if not him. We have people that will try to guess this name. It's fruitless. The Bible is completely silent, and that's where I will be silent. What is the name of this? Well, we just don't know. We see through the scripture that there are times when we have an appearance of what could be Jesus, but the name is never provided. I want you to think about this when we go to Genesis chapter 32. Jacob, when he is wrestling with that one that is known as the, quote, angel of the Lord. Verse 29, Jacob asked him and said, please tell me your name. And he said, why is it that you ask my name? And he lets it go. And he blesses him, but he would not tell him his name. I remember as a child finding that very strange. Why would you ask my name? He asks him a question with the question and then moves on. But we have the mysteries going to stay that way. And then we also think of this when we go to Judges. The angel of the Lord appears to Samson's relative. And when she's telling it, repairing it back, she says in Judges chapter 13, the woman came and told her husband, a man of God came to me. His appearance was like the appearance of the angel of God. Very awesome. I did not ask him where he came from, nor did he tell me his name. And then we think about this, and Samson's father meets him. And he says this, the angel of the Lord says to me, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? And I was thinking about this because wonderful, full of wonder, yeah, full of mystery. And I'm reminded, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, isn't that the name? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor. So we have this one that is full of wonder, full of mystery here. And when we see this, we're finding out that this is something that is left. And some Bible scholars say, well, it might be revealed to us in heaven, but this is between the Father and the Son. And as we see it through the scriptures, we see the Father and the Son coming together on the throne. It could be this will be revealed, but it's not to be revealed to us now. It's saying this, we can't fully describe Jesus. We can't contain him. We can't fully describe him. We have all of these different names here, but then, do we have all of the description of him? No, we don't. We also see this. This is something else that's a mystery. He is wearing a robe that is dipped in blood, stained in blood. We're saying it, you could say sprinkle, but that doesn't seem to be powerful enough. This would be having been dipped. This is the word here that would take us from, we remember the word baptizo. Baptize. And so you're talking about heavily, heavily covered with blood. When you see this here, this is giving us the idea that when he has come here in this battle, the battle's already been won. His blood was shed for our victory. Now, when we have this, we see that this is a very, very powerful symbol that is being shown us, that we are taking a look from the scriptures and looking at a very, very powerful display that this is a guaranteed win. The blood that is shed here is saying this. There are Bible scholars say this could be talking about the blood that was shed from the enemies. And indeed, you know, we think about this. Luke chapter 19, verse 27 says, these ones were slain in his presence. These were enemies and all. This very well could be this. Or Revelation chapter 14 talks about the winepress that was trodden outside the city on there, that the blood from the Battle of Armageddon, it will go and it will spread for 200 miles. Could this be talking about that? It very well could. But it's letting us know because of the victory that is going to be presented here. I like to look at this and see the first definition by the scholars and saying, this is signifying that Christ already shed the blood, and he's wearing this as a symbol of victory. He is called the Word of God, so here's another title that we see here, and when we see this, we're reminded that Jesus Christ, he is known as the Word of God. Look in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 2. Who testified to the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Or Revelation chapter 19, when we see this, the Word of God here, It is talking about this. He is the Word. Think about this. We go back to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Why? Because the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. When we see this, we can see that not only is He the author and finisher of our faith, He is the author of the Scriptures. He is not only the one writing it, he is the Word. What's the Bible say? I'm the Alpha and the Omega. He is everything. It's beyond our description on the power of what He is. And when we see this, we also realize that He is, in this Word, this is exalting Him. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made and the host of them by the breath of His mouth. And that is in Psalm 33. We look at what Jesus is in being the Word of God. And there, I was just, during the course of the weekend when I was traveling, I would just continually listen to just repeating this in hearing an audio devotional reading. And it was just simply reading 1 John chapter, all the way through, all 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And I'm reminded as I'm looking at this too, remember this? 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, shown, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was shown, manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The word of life. It's talking about the logos, the logic of the universe. In describing the Lord, why, you've got to take it down to the very words themselves. And this is what makes up creation here, the word of God. When we see this, we're seeing the victories that are coming. We're seeing the strength of all of this. Jesus, by His word, John chapter 1, He was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And along with this, we see, as we look through the Scriptures here, and we're taking a look here, and we we went down here in the description of Him, eyes of flame of fire, a name, robe dipped in blood, and then what happens? The armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, were following Him on white horses. The armies in heaven, you're talking about those that are following, do they actually, are they garbed in camouflage and everything? Well, these are the ones. They are intriguing in this army because it looks like when we study this, there are two entities here. Let me explain. When we start going through the Scripture, we see this. When we're talking about the justice, when the angels are going to be giving John information, one of the angels in Revelation 17, verse 14, tells us that those who are with Him are called, chosen, and faithful. You can actually say the called, the chosen, and faithful. Well, you're talking about Christians. You're talking about those that are going to come down, and these are believers. But then you also look, and you're going to see that whenever the Lord comes in justice, the Lord Jesus, you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, look in verses 7 through 10, and it tells us the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. So you find something very powerful here. Angels, along with the redeemed, with people, in here. Well, we take a look back, and I think about this. In 2 Kings chapter 6, whenever Elisha is being surrounded by the Assyrian army, and then the servant comes over, one of the, the seminary students, and, "Master, what are we going to do?" And Elisha is just so calm about this and says, "Lord, would you open up his eyes?" And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And so we see these angels, but then we also see that there are the redeemed. Can you imagine this? Being shoulder to shoulder with angels. It's amazing enough that we are seeing Jesus Christ leading in the victory, but we're alongside there when we see armies. This term armies, not army, well, this could be the delineation of two types of armies. I'll leave it at that when we talk about that. I see I'm short of time. We'll talk some more here. Just some intriguing things to leave you with. This is Brad as we're talking about this wonderful passage in Revelation 19. God bless you. Take care. We see Christ is the victor, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Thank you. God bless you. And Lord willing, we'll talk soon.
In order for the Heaven Tour to continue fulfilling our mission, we humbly ask for your support. Your generosity allows us to continue to proclaim and explain the biblical truth of heaven and to mentor many. All eligible donations are tax deductible, so please prayerfully consider an end of year gift. You can send your gift to the Heaven Tour, P.O. Box 795 Pickens, South Carolina 29671. Thank you and have a blessed Thanksgiving.